Hey, did you hear about that multi-billion dollar Roundup settlement?
Yeah, it impacts people who are exposed to weed killers at work or at home, even if you just used it in your own yard. Lawsuits claim it causes non-Hodgkin lymphoma, a blood cancer.
But we're not sick, so that doesn't affect us.
But it does. This cancer can take 10 to 15 years to show up.
That's a long time after exposure.
It is, and that's why the settlement is paying claims for up to 21 years. If you get sick, even years from now, you could get $6,000 to $165,000 or more as part of the settlement.
So what's the catch?
If you stay in, you give up the right to sue them later.
Learn more at weedkillerclass.com or call 1-888-403-8201. If you or a loved one has or had non-Hodgkin lymphoma, even if they've passed, you must register for benefits. That's weedkillerclass.com. 1-888-403-8201. Paid for by the Roundup Settlement.
Off the ball. GAA.
So you've got Gerard O'Connor, you've got O'Mara, you've got really good players coming in, right? I mean, really good players, not just okay players.
Join in the obsession. Subscribe now at offtheball.com/join.
The Football Show on Off the Ball.
With William Hill, you can boost your winnings on every game with new Bet Builder Extra. Only with William Hill. Download the app today. 18+ gamblingcare.ie.
This is News Talk.
You're welcome along. It is Thursday's Football Show. Nathan with you this evening. Stephen Doyle will join us in a while. We'll be chatting about Sean Dyche's sacking as Everton manager and the confirmation that Graham Potter is the new West Ham manager. He's been speaking as well today. But some big news on the home front today, because one of the great Irish international careers has come to an end. Niamh Fahey announcing her international retirement after a remarkable 17 years and 115 caps for the senior international team. Niamh will still continue to play club football for Liverpool, where she's the club captain. Niamh Fahey, say it ain't so.
Yeah, it is so. So it's been quite the journey. So looking back today, just feeling really proud and reliving some of those major moments. It's brought a good feeling back.
Quite the journey, quite the day, I'd imagine, as well, looking at some of the tributes that have been paid to you online. Turns out everyone really liked you.
I got a lot of nice, I suppose you don't see the trolls in times like this, so that's quite nice, one positive. But there's been so many lovely messages online and personally as well to my phone, and it's been an emotional day, but obviously can't thank everyone personally enough for everything that they've helped me through in my journey as well. And it has been quite the journey.
And anything that stands out from the messages that have come through?
My cousin said to me, he goes, pints for caps. So that means 115 pints somewhere down the line. So I thought that was quite funny.
A little bit down the line just yet. Listen, all the tributes are well-deserved. Like, geez, 17 years, like from 2007 all the way through till 2024, like beyond your wildest dreams, I'd imagine.
Yeah, no, it's incredible, actually. When probably just getting the amount of time to thinking that's how long I've had the privilege of being involved with the team. It's been incredible, and you know, I have feel so lucky and privileged again to be part of that Irish team for that amount of time. And yeah, it's something that now it's really sinking in, I suppose, that it's been an amazing journey, and I don't think I would have changed one single thing.
When did you make the decision?
Pretty much straight away after the Wales game. Obviously didn't go the way we wanted it to, and hopefully was wanting to finish off with another qualification for a major tournament to cap it all off, but it wasn't to be. And it's a natural ending then after that game, really, with the new cycle starting. And yeah, I pretty much knew after that game that was the last time I'd pull on the green shirt.
Did that allow you then, well, listen, you'd hope there would be more, but were you sort of in that last camp aware that this might be the last time of taking things in a little bit more than you might have?
Ish, and at the same time, I didn't want to get too distracted by it. I didn't want to have that added pressure. It's pressure enough trying to qualify for a tournament without thinking this might be your last game. So I kind of blocked it out, to be honest. And yeah, I think only after it hit me coming off the pitch, I felt quite emotional. Yeah, knowing that was going to be my last game.
Yeah. Like you mentioned pride there, and like you must be and should be so proud. Like I remember working back in Golub FM 20 years ago, and we'd be talking about Niamh Fahy and what Niamh Fahy might do either as a Gaelic footballer or as a soccer player. And, you know, lots of players are talked up at a young age, but to go and then do it and fulfill all that potential is something that you should be so proud of, and probably now at 37 you can appreciate how difficult it is and how many players don't get to go on the journey you did.
Yeah, you're so right. I think starting off in Galway as a young Gaelic footballer and achieving one of my dreams of winning All Ireland, was incredible. So I think to think back then that this was going to be the resultant kind of output from those 17 years, I never would have imagined it. But yeah, I'm one of the lucky ones as well. And, you know, I think for myself, I probably would say I wouldn't have been the most talented, but I put in an awful lot of work and dedication and just pride in trying to wear that jersey. And I never lost sight of that fact. And I think that's carried me through to probably the later end of my career and helped me to keep going to a high level.
You obviously never had to look far for inspiration as to what it took to be an elite sports person. And I'm sure the listeners are aware your brother Gary is still the last Galway man to lift the Sam Maguire. But that work ethic, like, was that just always in the family?
Yeah, I had fantastic role models. Obviously, Gary Ritchie winning two All-Ireland senior football titles. The inspiration wasn't ever too far from sight. And I remember being a young girl and my brothers having a homemade gym up in the attic with, I think they filled two buckets with cement blocks and attached them to a bar, and that was their weightlifting bar. And I used to go up and watch them doing their bench press and trying to lift the bar. But that was always in my line of sight, and watching them doing extra training, running in our local woods in Roscahill, driving behind them sometimes in the pitch dark when they were doing extra fitness during the winter. So, I had amazing people to look up to. My whole family as well, they've been incredible support to me throughout my career. So, feeling very lucky and privileged.
What were you when you won the All-Ireland? What, 16, 17?
Yeah, it was 16. 16, there was a couple of us around that age, maybe five or six 16-year-olds. We had a very talented underage team, and PJ Fahey brought us into the fold. And a couple with the older experienced girls had the perfect blend, and in 2004 were able to manage to win the All-Ireland.
So when do you really start to double down on football? Because by the time you're sort of 20, you know, you're playing up against Olivia O'Toole in an FAI Cup final, and you know, keeping Olivia quiet, you're scoring the winner in an FAI Cup final. At that stage, are you all in on the soccer side of things?
I probably went all in at when I made the move to Arsenal at 20. I got my first taste of international football at 15 at the under 17 Youth Olympics in Paris, and that just lit a spark in me where I felt like this was something that I could go on to achieve, maybe play for the Irish senior women's team, and then making my debut, and then closely after getting scouted for Arsenal. That really turned the tide, and yeah, that's what I was going to do, that's what I was going to pursue, because the women's game wasn't professional at that time. But I knew I wanted to maximise my ability and opportunity, and the shift really happened at 20 years old and making that step over to England.
That must be such an exciting period, because like that Arsenal team, is that that's just after they won the Champions League?
Yeah, just after, yeah.
And still, you know, the likes of Alex Scott and Steph Holton and Emma Byrne and like some of the most recognisable figures in the women's game, you're going into that dressing room.
Yeah, very daunting, to say the least. Probably very, very homesick as well in that first year, but a lot of doubts. I remember being going in thinking, God, I'm way out of my depth here. I don't think I belong here. The first couple of training sessions been really difficult. And yeah, having a difficult first year, probably trying to settle in over there, but slowly but surely things started to fall into place for me. And Yeah, very lucky to have played alongside some of the best that that have played women's football.
How did you survive that first year and that homesickness? Because we were talking to another Galway sports person last night, Seamus Keneally, who I think is just maybe a bit further out the road than you are. And, you know, he was going through that when he initially went over to Sheffield United, just the real struggle he had to survive and ended up coming back home. When times are tough in that first year, what keeps you going?
Well, I was lucky at the time because I had three other Irish internationals, Yvonne Tracy, Emma Byrne and Ciara Grant at Arsenal. So, to be honest, without them, I probably would have really failed to settle. I think they were an enormous help for me. And just that familiarity of home and the club itself were brilliant and helped me settle. I could go home if I was feeling a little bit homesick. And I think Skype was around as well. So that was always an added benefit of being able to see my family. And it wasn't too far away, but it's still a process to settle. But yeah, I had good people around me that helped that transition be a lot easier than what it was.
And it's around that time you're making the breakthrough on the international side of things. I presume it goes without saying that the international setup you went into and the international setup you're leaving are just a world apart.
Yeah, for sure. It's chalk and cheese. You know, it's well documented about the previous struggles and before me, the generation that came before me as well, their fight for respect and equality and treatment to try and be the best footballers that they could be. So we were a continuation of that in that earlier phase. And I suppose, yeah, the 2017 strike really was the turning tide for that, for some type of equality and respect. And I think without that stance, really, we probably would still be talking about qualification. I think it was a major important milestone to be able to get the standards up and get the best version out of the women's team.
Like there's still 9 years there of playing international football before that moment comes. When you reflect on what might have happened if it had come earlier, like how different things could have been. Like there's probably a lot of lost careers in that period.
For sure. I think it's such a shame because you've so many great players that you want to see at a tournament, and you know, we don't really know much about them because it was of a different generation. The media wasn't there and they weren't talked about in the same way. And it's looking back, you think, you know, the what ifs, but I suppose everyone can say that at a certain time, but luckily that's in the past, and the future is very much bright now for the next generation that are going to be donning green jerseys or hoping to be professional footballers.
And listen, so you're at Arsenal and you're winning leagues, and you go to Chelsea and you win a league there, and you're always playing at such a very high level with the club, but the way the professionalism has come in the later part of your career, is that one of the reasons why still at 37 you know you're still playing for the international team, you're still playing at a very high level? If that hadn't come, would you probably have had to step away earlier?
Probably. I think everything from my start of the women's game going to Arsenal to now, it's every year there's an improvement, whether it's medical staff, travel, support staff, all those things enable you to become a better footballer. And a major part of my longevity is probably the strength and conditioning side of things and the medical support that has come into the game. And yeah, without the talent and services of all those support staff, it's definitely prolonging careers and has probably prolonged my career as well.
You mentioned thinking about the highlights and the best days. I'm sure there's the obvious ones, and there's Hampden Park, and there's getting to go to Australia and all of that. What are the ones that maybe we don't know about? What are the things that happened that as much as you can tell us that you sort of look back on and go, God, that was like that's something that we'll only ever have that'll stick in your memory forever.
Do you know what? There's so many stories. I'll probably have to think about writing a book now at this stage, and I don't know if many of them are fit for air, but I think when I think of the camaraderie and the teammates that I've shared moments with, to be honest, I'm just thinking off the top of my head, there are too many to mention and probably not always 100% suitable, but keeping it strictly football, I can't stop thinking about Amber Barrett's goal and that big toe just poking it into that bottom right hand of the corner. So for me, that's my favourite moment ever in an Irish shirt, just watching that goal go in Hampden Park.
Well, listen, you may not want to tell us about some of the things that have gone on during your career, but we've got a bit of a surprise for you because we might have an Al special guest, and someone who's been paying a very fitting tribute today has been Denise O'Sullivan, and Denise O'Sullivan is with us on the line live from the USA. Thanks for taking the call, Denise.
Hi, everyone. Hi, Nidge.
How are you getting on?
All good. How are you doing?
I'm very well. So that was a shock to us when the news came through today. You've been online paying tribute to Niamh. What sort of a teammate has she been to you through the years?
Yeah, I didn't plan on crying today, but it happened anyway when I seen that. But yeah, I can't put into words how much Niamh has meant to the team, what she's done for the team, what she's done for Ireland women's football, and particular myself as an individual. I think when you're around someone like Nidge in camp, you look up to them, you look at what they do, and I have learned so much from her. I'm getting emotional again. Oh my god. But I'm getting emotional because she's just, I don't think I'll ever meet someone like her again, and I think we're going to miss her so much in camp. She's just a legend, and everything she's done for the team and for me as a person, I'll never forget that. And I think I'll still be messaging Nidge now and again, asking her for advice and some tips. But her leadership in camp was truly inspiring. And obviously being a captain myself at the Courage, I think, and obviously being a captain for Ireland as well, wearing the armband, I think I have truly learned so much from her. So I'm really sad, but after the career she's had, she should be so proud of herself. And I'll be still watching her at Liverpool and hopefully make a trip over to watch her as well. Congrats, Nidge, and we're going to miss you.
Thanks, Denise. Love you, girl.
Were you Nidge before Love Hate, or did that come after?
After.
She's
the biggest joker as well.
Oh, really?
So don't let her fool anyone. She's the joker of the camp.
She's trying to be all professional here, Denise. She won't give us any of the good goss.
I'll give you a good one. The last camp, I had to thank Denise O'Sullivan for saving my life. We were sitting down after, I think, in the morning, or no, actually, it was in the afternoon, having lunch, and stir fry was on the menu at the Castleknock. So eating my stir fry, unfortunately, pak choi, which is the devil of all vegetables, got lodged down my throat, and I couldn't breathe, and I was choking. Everyone froze on the table apart from Denise O'Sullivan, who was incessantly whacking my back and nearly cracked a rib in the process, but she was sprung into action, and I think her leadership qualities shone through on that day. So I'm breathing here and still here because of her.
Wow. The Heimlich manoeuvre, you were straight into it.
Exactly. Yeah, exactly. A woman of many talents.
Denise,
I lost my life. Stop reading myself from that.
Denise, Niamh was just saying, as I think probably for so many of you, we'll always look back in that night of Hampden and Amber Barrett's big toe. And Amber, obviously, you know, we'll be talking about it for the next 50 years, and rightly so. And then people go and listen, the true ball from Denise O'Sullivan. People don't show enough love and don't show enough respect for that little header from Niamh Fahey that she cushioned down for you.
Yeah, exactly. That was Niamh in a nutshell, composure and calmness to do that. But that night, obviously, I'll never forget. The toe poke by Amber Barrett, it's definitely one for the memory books. It was amazing.
There was just a photo up there of probably the last time the three of us spoke, which was on stage at the Mansion House the night the squad was announced and just before you went to Australia, and like the excitement that night, Niamh, and how everybody was just anticipating what was to come. Do you look back on Australia, and was it everything that you hoped it would be in terms of the experience?
Yeah, it was. You can't, you know, that feeling of being at a first ever tournament. I know it was overshadowed in a sense probably at the end with off-pitch stuff and that. But I think on reflection, you just know that you've been there, you've played in a World Cup. And any fan that I've spoke to after, they have come up to me and said, I was in Perth or I was in Sydney, and you don't realise the atmosphere and the memories that we have from that day. And when you hear those kind of stories, it just kicks back in and you realise, yeah, wow, that was something special.
We want to bring in one more special guest because, well, really, you know, when people think of Niamh Fahy, quite often they also think of Louise Quinn. Come on down.
Hello, everyone. How are we?
She's a bit surprised, I think, at this stage. I make it 352 caps between the three of you. And Louise, when you were on a few weeks ago with us before the Wales game, we were saying how long it had been since Ireland had played without either yourself or Niamh on the pitch together. Like, it is synonymous. It must have been, what, over a decade of the two of you in the heart of that Irish defence?
Yeah, I think something like that. We were able to keep ourselves fit, healthy, and just, yeah, make sure one of us was in there one time. But it was always better when the two of us were in there together, to be honest.
Mm. Because, Niamh, often, you know, some players have fleeting international careers and come in and out of the squad. But even I look at that squad you went into all the way back in 2008, like, Diane Caldwell was still there. Like, you're 17. So many of that group have shared so much together.
Yeah, crazy. Like that, Louise, Diane, Áine Gorman, countless amount of us that have been there a very long time. And I think that's what makes it so special as well. You share all those moments and memories with people, and yeah, it makes it harder to know that it's over. But yeah, the good times that were shared will always be there, and it won't take long to look back and just remember them.
And would it be fair to say, Niamh, that like that night at Hampden, you produced this beautiful moment to give the ball to Denise, but often when Denise or Katie were taking the set pieces, that maybe they were a little bit unfair at times and they would target Louise rather than targeting you?
I always said we weren't tactically aware enough at set pieces, and they should have gone for me more with my one goal in 115 caps. I think it was justified. But no, we were always sure of a goal when Louise is on the pitch, and a massive miss for us in the recent qualifier. So hopefully you're back fit and healthy soon, Lou, and back there in a green shirt soon.
I know.
I hope so. Well, that was it. I had the pleasure of assisting Fahy and her goal as well. So whatever it took, we sometimes used to try and make it happen as much as possible.
We don't want to take away from anything today, Louise. Today of all days, we don't want to take away from Niamh. Was there a hand involved?
I didn't see it, and my eyes were closed. I just thought I hit the back of the net.
Very diplomatic.
for the previous, was it 103 games, would you have gone up for all those corner kicks?
Probably, yeah. Probably. But
that's an unbelievable achievement.
You know what? They were so worried about me. I took the heat off Louise. I gave her a free roll.
Yeah, Denise, I know you're out and about at the moment, so thanks so much for taking the call. I always get the sense from that core group of the squad that, you know, in 10, 20, 30 years, there'll be reunions and there'll be that bond that is always there for the times you've shared.
Yeah, 100%. We've had so many memories with Nidge, and obviously Lou's on the line now as well, and all those girls, and it's just been unbelievable, and I hope we continue to make more memories, and we'll never forget Nidge and what she has done for us, for the team, and for women's football. So, thank you, Nidge.
Thanks, girls.
Denise, we'll let you go. Thanks a million for hopping on.
Thank you. Bye, girls.
Bye, Denise.
We should point out that Niamh is still going to be playing for her club, so she's not fully retiring. So we might have to do all this again in a couple of years' time. But Louise, having played alongside Niamh for so long, you probably know her game better than anybody. What made her so good?
I think just the composure, her knowledge of the game. I think you just felt safe, and the trust playing beside her. It's so hard, but it's, you know, every time you could give Fahy the ball, she would do something, usually breaking lines, finding Denise. And then just how to command a back line. She could just sniff out danger anywhere, and we just, you know, had this relationship where we could cover each other no matter what. So, yeah, it was just so easy to play with, and just, I mean, she'd go on little moseys through midfield as well, going up top as well. So just knowing in those moments as well to cover her. But that was it. Like, you know what I mean? I could be doing whatever as well, and she'd have my back. And I just felt like we always just had a, you know, solid relationship. And that was the full back line, especially, yeah, mentioning Diane and Anya. Yeah, we just knew what we were up to.
Yeah. Streetwise.
Exactly. Knowledge, experience, learning from loads of mistakes we made and then making it better then.
When do you think, Niamh, you were at your absolute peak? When did you feel the most comfortable on a football pitch?
To be honest, I'm not sure I ever really felt comfortable going out in an international match, because, yeah, you never want to, want to play well, never want to make a mistake. But probably the most solid I felt was probably around the time of qualification, in those kind of couple of games against Sweden, Finland, the Scottish game, and then around the World Cup. I had all the experience, and obviously playing with such experience with Lou, with all the girls, it was kind of like second nature. You didn't have to think too much, and you're just out there and enjoying it as well, in a sense. So that's probably when the time I felt most free and probably most safe and most complete as a player in an Irish jersey.
Mm. What about these last couple of years since the World Cup, Niamh, and, you know, having the opportunity to play games at the Aviva Stadium, and again, things that, you know, just you probably couldn't have even dreamed about when you started out?
Yeah, it's kind of a difficult one, because I was thinking after the World Cup if I was going to retire or not.
Right.
But then I suppose I was playing with my club and still playing well. And then when I was playing with my club, I didn't really want to shut the door, because I knew the Euros were kind of within touching distance. And yeah, when I was playing then for the Irish team, I was putting in a good performance. So, you know, it hasn't led to the Euros, but I never had played at the Aviva before. And although it finished with a disappointing result, I got to play at the Aviva, and I'm proud of that as well. So it hasn't fully worked out the way it probably envisaged it ending, or could have ended it maybe after the World Cup. But I'm glad of the experiences that I've had in that kind of interim period as well.
I presume you played against each other quite a bit, Louise.
Yeah, we would have, yeah. A handful.
Yeah.
Definitely when you were with Liverpool, Fahy, I think. Mostly, yeah. That was it.
Yeah, more side by side, which was better.
Yeah, definitely. far easier.
You didn't want to be picking up Louise on the corners.
I didn't want to be anywhere near Louise Quinn on the corner.
We never spoke that much anytime we played each other either. We always be like in a zone, so then it was much nicer coming back into camp.
Yeah. The end of these cycles, I guess, Louise, there's always a feeling of the end of an era, but today kind of does feel a bit like that for a lot of people.
Yeah, absolutely. Even just as you said, you know, looking at an Irish team and not having Niamh Fahy's name in the squad or the starting 11 is just going to be extremely bizarre. And yeah, for me, it was, I got my first cap against Poland, and I came on for about a total of 4 minutes, and I came on for Fahy. You know, I don't know if she ever remembers it, but I know I'll never forget it. And to think then I was playing beside her for so many years after that was magic. But like, that was the thing, I looked up to her for that. You know, I was able to come on for her, tried to replicate what she was doing. And then it just kind of blossomed from there. And then, yeah, I'm so happy I could play probably, I don't know, Fahy, what, 80 caps together at least, maybe? I don't know.
At least, I'd say, Lou.
It's just crazy.
It'll take a while, but I'm sure someone will go through the stats, because I can't imagine that there's many partnerships that have played as many games together at international level as the two of ye.
Yeah, I don't know. I'm sure Gareth Maher will pick some stats out. He's great at that.
And did she ever save your life? Or just generally lead you astray?
We did have that one late night cycle around in a lovely city before, didn't we?
But we did. where
was this?
Frustrating game, and we just went off out into the city. There was hotels that had bikes, and we were like, we need to get out. We needed to get away. Yeah, but no, I won't be disclosing anything. I'm still in the system, you see.
Yeah. You're still the ultimate professional.
Yes, yeah.
You're dead right. Louise, thanks a million for taking the call as well.
No problem. And yeah, thank you so much. And just Fahi, thank you. It's just been a pleasure. And yeah, you've made, I'd say, at least the majority of my 120 caps very special. So, and just to be a part of that. And yeah, and just thank you for everything. And we were roomies as well. And that was a very special time. And yeah, total messer. Couldn't enter the room with a cup of tea that wouldn't be spilt on the floor.
Thank you, Lou.
She'd be hiding in every doorway and, oh God, under the bed, everything.
Louise.
Love you, Lou.
Mind yourself. We'll talk to you again soon.
Thank you. Love you, Nidge.
Bye-bye.
We've put you on the spot here, Niamh. Everyone out here is getting quite emotional listening to the tributes to you, but no surprise that the second we asked, both Denise and Louise were just desperate to come on and say nice things about you. And you can see that online today as well, the impact you've had on people. And geez, that's a nice legacy to have.
It's the best to have the friendships and nice words and people to think ultimately you're a good person and you could share a laugh with people in a team and in a high stress environment. That's the biggest thing and the proudest thing as well that I'm going to take away. And it's those friendships with those girls as well, because they've meant the world to me for so long. And yeah, I'm going to continue to support them and the future generations, but it's those memories that'll keep me going when I'm thinking back.
And we'll have to do all this again in 3 or 4 years when you retire from the club game. I'm sure you're thinking about playing till 40 at this stage. It's a lovely thing as well that like so much of this comes a bit later in your career. And I think of the Liverpool captaincy as well and getting to play for a club the size of Liverpool. And it looks from the outside that sort of honour of being the captain and the opportunities that has given you as well, that, you know, there's players coming in because of the path you forged at 17, 18 and think, you know, it's always going to be like this. But you're at an age where you can probably fully appreciate all the things both internationally that's happened with the World Cup and the experiences you've had with the club.
Yeah, for sure. I'm so grateful for so many things, but I think the timing of the eras as well that I've come in, I have had a greater appreciation of the professionalisation of women's football at a club level and within Ireland football. So I've seen the growth, I've seen the change, and most importantly, I've seen the impact and the legacy that it's leaving on the future and the younger Irish girls and boys in that generation. So many things to be proud of. Happy with what's been and everything that's gone into it.
And you got to get over all this now and get back out on the pitch because you're playing at the weekend.
Well, as it goes, unfortunately injured at the minute, but hopefully not too long before I'm back. But it's been an emotional day, but again, so nice to be able to reflect, look back, and hear some nice things that probably I haven't heard before. So it's been a good day.
Yeah. Well, listen, well deserved, and just an incredible career to play 115 times for your country over the space of 17 years. And I think, as we've seen from the type of tributes that have come in, we're going to be talking about you for quite a while, and I'm sure we're going to be talking to you again over the next while as well. Niamh Fahy, congratulations.
Thank you very much, Nathan. Thanks a million.
Football on Off the Ball.
With William Hill, you can boost your winnings on every game with new Bet Builder Extra. Only with William Hill. Download the app today. 18+ gamblingcare.ie.
This is News Talk.